Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Remember by Avram Goldhar and today we're Zechus Tainus Daf Yud Ches, the last Daf in the second Perek Seder Tainios. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on, number one, it was taught in a Brice on Daf Yud Zayin on Beis that in Megillas Tainus it states that it was forbidden to give a hesped from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan. Rashi explains that the reason was because the Chachamim won a protracted battle during those days against the Beit Hosim, convincing them that the daily Talmud was brought from communal funds, not from private donations. Similarly, it was forbidden to give a hesped from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach. Rashi explains that on those days the Chachamim won a debate against the Tzedukim and convinced them regarding the correct date for Shavuos. The Gemara on this stuff asks why the Tana listed the 8th of Nisan as being forbidden to eulogize due to the Shavuos victory when it was already listed as a day when it was forbidden to eulogize due to the Talmud victory. The Gemara answers, "Kaven de'ilumiklu milsa ubatlin l'shivas." Since if something were to occur and the Chachamim would nullify the festivals of the first 7 days, giving a hesped on the 8th would still be prohibited because it's the first day on which the date of Shavuos was confirmed. Rashi explains that if the Rabban saw a need to fast on one of those 7 days because of some adverse event, then the whole set would be nullified because they're considered one group celebrating the same occasion, that being the victory regarding the Talmud. Point number two, the Gemara mentions that in Megillas Tainus, it lists the 13th of Adar as the day of Nicanor, a day marked as a festival. It was taught in the Brice of Megillas Tainus, Nicanor was a Greek governor during the time of Hanukkah, who waved his hand against Yehuda and Yerushalayim and would say, "Amos haitipo b'yad v'ramesena, when will it fall into my hand and I will trample it?" And when the Malchus of the Chashmonaim got stronger and were victorious over the Greeks, they cut off Nicanor's thumbs and big toes and hung them at the gates of Yerushalayim and said, "The mouth that used to speak with arrogance and the hands that were waved over Yerushalayim shall have revenge taken against them." And point number three, Megillas Tainus identifies the 12th of Adar as the day of Tiryanus, a minor festival. The Gemara explains that Tiryanus wanted to kill Lilianus and his brother Pappas in Lod. Rashi explains that these two brothers were complete tzaddikim. When the Jews of Lod were accused of murdering the emperor's daughter, they were threatened with mass execution unless the murderers were identified. In order to save their town, these two brothers came forward and said that they had killed her even though they were really innocent. Megillas Tainus describes what occurred. Tiryanus said that if they were from the people of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, then let HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and save them from his hand, like those three were saved from Nebuchadnezzar. They responded, "The Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were tzaddikim and deserving of a nace, and Nebuchadnezzar was a fitting king that was deserving that a nace should occur through him. But you are an ordinary Russia who's not deserving of a nace, and if you do not kill us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many bears and lions in his world that could attack us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only placed us in your hand in order to avenge our blood from your hand." Tiryanus did not heed their warning, and immediately after he executed them, a pair of officers came from Rome with a directive against him, Upatsu as Mocha Begizri, and they split open his head with clubs. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in the Brice on Daf Yid Zayin on Beis. Then Megillas Tainus, it states that it was forbidden to give a hesped from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan. Rashi explains that the reason was because the Chachamim won a protracted battle during those days against the Beit Hosim, convincing them that the daily Talmud was brought from communal funds, not from private donations. Similarly, it was forbidden to give a hesped from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach. Rashi explains that on those days, the Chachamim wanted to debate against the Tzedukim and convince them regarding the correct date for Shavuos. The Gemara on this stuff asks why the Tana listed the 8th of Nisan as being forbidden to eulogize due to the Shavuos victory when it was already listed as a day when it was forbidden to eulogize due to the Talmud victory. The Gemara answers, "Kaven de'ilumiklu milsa ubatlin l'shiva," since if something were to occur and the Chachamim would nullify the festivals of the first 7 days, giving a hesped on the 8th would still be prohibited because it's the first day on which the date of Shavuos was confirmed. Rashi explains that if the Rabban saw a need to fast on one of those 7 days because of some adverse event, then the whole set would be nullified because they're considered one group celebrating the same occasion, that being the victory regarding the Talmud. Point number two, the Gemara mentions that in Megillas Tainus, it lists the 13th of Adar as the day of Nicanor, a day marked as a festival. It was taught in the Brice of Megillas Tainus, Nicanor was a Greek governor during the time of Hanukkah, who waved his hand against Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and he would say, "Amos haitipo b'yadi v'remesena, when will it fall into my hand and I will trample it?" And when the Malchus of the Chashmonaim got stronger and were victorious over the Greeks, they cut off Nicanor's thumbs and big toes and hung them at the gates of Yerushalayim and said, "The mouth that used to speak with arrogance and the hands were waved over Yerushalayim shall have revenge taken against them." And point number three, Megillas Tainus identifies the 12th of Adar as the day of Tiryanus, a minor festival. The Gemara explains that Tiryanus wanted to kill Lilianus and his brother Pappas in Lod. Rashi explains these two brothers were complete tzaddikim. When the Jews of Lod were accused of murdering the emperor's daughter, They were threatened with mass execution unless the murderers were identified. In order to save their town, these two brothers came forward and said that they had killed her even though they were really innocent. Megillas Tinus describes what occurred. Turiana said if they were from the people of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, then let HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and save them from his hand, like those three were saved from Nebuchadnezzar. They responded that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were tzaddikim and deserving of a nais, and Nebuchadnezzar was a fitting king that was deserving that a nais should occur through him. But you are an ordinary Russia who's not deserving of a miracle, and if you do not kill us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many bears and lions in his world that could attack us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only placed this in your hand in order to avenge our blood from your hand. Turianus didn't heed their warning, and immediately after he executed them, a pair of officers came from Rome with a directive against him, Upatsuas Mocha Begizrin, and they split open his head with clubs. All right, so now we go to our Simon Dav Yudches, and our standard Simon is a chuppah, because Ben Yudches or chuppah, someone who's 18 should go to chuppah. So here goes. This special victory chuppah that was placed over a symbolic tamid offering, eating cheesecake on the 8th of Nisan, featured dangling thumbs and toes, and a piñata shaped like the head of a Roman governor, for little kids to smash. Once again, in slow motion. This special victory chuppah, chuppah, that must be more daf yudches. This special victory chuppah that was placed over a symbolic tamid offering, eating cheesecake on the 8th of Nisan, which reminds us that Megillas Tinus lists the 8th of Nisan twice, once for the victory over the Baitosim regarding the tamid, and once for the victory over the Tzedukim regarding the correct dating of Shavuos. The reason why it's listed twice that it's a date forbidden for one to give a hesped on is that if for some reason the Chachamim see a need to fast on one of the first 7 days of Nisan, then the 8th would be batel as well since it's part of that group celebrating the same occasion. Therefore, we learn that it's still forbidden to give a hesped on the 8th of Nisan due to the victory regarding Shavuos. So the special victory chuppah that was placed over a symbolic tamid offering, eating cheesecake on the 8th of Nisan, featured dangling thumbs and toes, which reminds us of the 13th of Adar is the day of Nicanor, when the Gaivid Greek governor waved his hands over Yehud and Yerushalayim seeking to destroy, was killed by the Chashmonaim, and his thumbs and toes were cut off and hung on the gates of Yerushalayim. So the special victory chuppah that was placed over a symbolic tamid offering, eating cheesecake on the 8th of Nisan, featured dangling thumbs and toes, and a piñata shaped like the head of a Roman governor for little kids to smash. Which reminds us, the 12th of Adar is the day of Turianus, who killed the two innocent brothers Ulianus and Pappus of Lod, and was avenged on the same day when two Roman officials came with an edict to kill him, and they split open his head with clubs. So once again, the special victory chuppah that was placed over a symbolic tamid offering, eating cheesecake on the 8th of Nisan, featured dangling thumbs and toes, and a piñata shaped like the head of a Roman governor for little kids to smash. All right, now it's time for a 4-blah-back chazara. Daf Yadalit. So the simmer Daf Yadalit is a hand, and we use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler juggling shofars, juggler juggling, that must be on Daf Yadalit, Yad. The juggler juggling shofars while calling out Anenu, Anenu, which reminds us that we learned that the 7 last fasts are more chamor and that we're masrin and we close the stores. We have a machlokes whether masrin means we blow the shofar during the 6 additional brachas which are recited on the day, or means we recite Anenu, referring to the tefillah which is said at the end of Slichos. So the juggler juggling shofars while calling out Anenu, Anenu, who performed under a shady tree in the king's royal garden, which reminds us that if rain has still not fallen after the 7 fasts, then we refrain from a binyan shel simcha, which refers to building a wedding chamber for one's son's chasna, and to a natiya shel simcha, which is a varnaki of kings, which is understood to be a tree that is planted when a baby prince is born that eventually gets built into his throne when he is coronated, or a large shady tree in the royal garden where kings like to stroll. So the juggler juggling shofars were calling out Anenu, Anenu, who performed under a shady tree in the king's royal garden, said shalom to scholars walking by, who responded with a soft and serious hello, which reminds us that if rain has not fallen after the 13 fasts, then cheverim, meaning Talmidei Chachamim, don't greet each other, and they respond to Amei Arz who greet them with a soft and serious hello. Dav Tezvav, so the simmer Dav Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The heavenly fruit bowls, that must mean we're on Dav Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat. The heavenly fruit bowls that were full of light and joy, which reminds us that Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that not everyone is zochet to light in Olam Haba, and not everybody is zochet to simcha. Tzaddikim will orav Yisharim with simcha. Tzaddikim will be zochet to light, and the upright will be zochet to simcha. Rashi explains that the Yisharim are greater than Tzaddikim, and that's why they're zochet to more. So the heavenly fruit bowls that were full of light and joy were unfortunately filled with ash to place on the foreheads of the leaders before the rest of the community, which reminds us that we put the ashes on the head of the Nasi and Abbas before everybody else puts the ashes on their own heads. Even though Rebbe says, when it comes to matters Of distinction, we begin with the most distinguished person. And in matters of curse times, we begin with the least distinguished person. Here, the placement of the ashes on the heads of the Nasi and Abbasin is a matter of prominence for them, because the people are essentially saying to them that the Nasi and Abbasin are chashim enough to ask for rachamim for all of them. So the heavenly fruit bowls that were full of light and joy were unfortunately filled with ash to place on the foreheads of the leaders before the rest of the community, who felt embarrassed, especially with ashes put in the place of their tefillin. Which reminds us, the ashes are put on the Nasi's and Abbasin's heads, whereas everybody else puts the ashes on their own heads, because it's a greater humiliation for the prominent people to be humiliated by others. We also learn that the ashes are put in the place of the tefillin. Daf Tes Zayin. So the Simur Daf Tes Zayin is toes. So here goes. The sandal-wearing community with their toes exposed. Toes? That must be one Daf Tes Zayin. The sandal-wearing community with their toes exposed, who gathered around the Aron outside on the public fast day with the ashes on their head, which reminds us that we learn the reasons for the various practices on a fast day, such as taking the Aron outside the public square, wearing sackcloth, and placing ashes on the head. So the sandal-wearing community with their toes exposed, who gathered around the Aron outside on the public fast day with ashes on their head, listen attentively to the elderly Shulich Tzibur, who is skilled in the tefillos, which reminds us that we learned all the qualifications for the Shulich Tzibur on a fast day. So the sandal-wearing community with their toes exposed, who gathered around the Aron outside on the public fast day with ashes on their head, listened attentively to the elderly Shulich Tzibur, who was skilled in the tefillos, and responded Amen in unison because they were not in the base of Mikdash. Which reminds us that the people respond Amen after each of the six additional brachas, but they do not do so in the base of Mikdash. Lefisha ein onin Amen bebase of Mikdash, because we do not say Amen in the base of Mikdash. Instead, they respond Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simur Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman, that must be more on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who unsuccessfully tried to sell a king and a gaon gadol a car as they left the barber, which reminds us, we learned that a melech gets his haircut daily, so he should always appear in his beauty. A kohen gadol gets his haircut weekly, so he can appear before the new mishmar erev Shabbos well groomed, and a kohen has his haircut at least within 30 days, and we learn that from a gezer shabbat to nazir. So the used car salesman who unsuccessfully tried to sell a king and a kohen gadol a car as they left the barber went after a kohen with long hair, who passed by knowing he could always get a quick haircut when needed, which reminds us the reason that it's not prohibited nowadays for a kohen to grow its hair long, even though the prohibition of Nazir still applies today, is that the pasuk juxtaposes the kohen growing his hair to the issur of shisui yain, of getting drunk. Just as that issur only applies during this month of the Beis HaMikdash, so to the issur of a kohen growing his hair long only applies during this month of the Beis HaMikdash. And when the Gemara points out that according to the Rabban, a kohen is still prohibited to drink wine nowadays, it explains that the reason is that when the temples were built, well, need kohanim who are ready to perform the avodah, and this would exclude a kohen that had drunk wine. In the case of long hair, the kohen could easily get his hair cut quickly and begin the avodah. So the used car salesman who unsuccessfully tried to sell a king and a kohen gadol a car as he left the barber went after a kohen with long hair who passed by knowing he could always get a quick haircut when needed and was trying to walk off the effects of too much wine. Which reminds us the reason why according to the Rabbanan, the issur of drinking wine still applies for a kohen is that if the base of Mikdash is rebuilt, a drunk kohen won't be able to do the avodah. And while a journey of a meal and a little sleep takes away the effect of drunkenness, that's only if he had a revias or a less. But if he had more, traveling and sleep will make him feel worse. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.